It's Monday, April the 9th. You're listening to KCAW in Sitka. I'm Chris Todd with Raven News. Herring seiners in Sitka landed about 3,700 tons on Saturday in the third opener of this year's Sacro fishery. That puts the fleet at 14,000 tons so far, well below its goal of a record 29,000 tons. Fishermen were growing increasingly anxious over the five-day interval between Saturday's fishing and the previous opener on Monday. In the interim, ADF&G mapped nearly 37 miles of active spawn. The Sacro fishery depends on landing the herring just before they spawn. The egg sacs are sold to gourmet markets, primarily in Japan. ADF&G opened fishing on Saturday in a large area to the north of Sitka, including Krestoff and Salisbury Sounds. Finding marketable volumes of unspawned fish has been challenging. ADF&G biologist Dave Gordon sounded almost like he was organizing an Easter egg hunt.
So a very large area. The situation, through last night appears to be that fish moved out of Salisbury down into Krestoff Sound. But there still remains a decent volume of fish in the Salisbury Sound area.
Fishing took place between 2:15 and 5:30 on Saturday afternoon. The department reports large volumes of unspawned herring remain in deep waters in areas closer to Sitka. ADF&G biologist Dave Gordon says it's not unusual for herring to spawn successive waves. It's been more common recently, however, for the Sacro fishery to complete its work prior to major spawning activity. Gordon says it's likely that fishing will resume today. Sitka police and National Park Rangers are looking for a man suspected of vandalizing the Russian Bishop's house. Chief Ranger Chad Corey says a passing driver two Saturdays ago reportedly saw a man breaking windows in the historic structure about 9 p.m. Corey says the individual had an unusual choice of weapon to do the damage.
His hand. So there was blood left at the scene. So that's one of the things that we're asking and of the public to look for is some possible cuts on what we suspect to be probably the right hand.
Corey describes the suspect as male, about 6'1", wearing all black clothing. All national park areas in Sitka and around the country occasionally suffer vandalism. Often it's natural resources, though, that are damaged. In the case of historic buildings, the losses are sometimes irreplaceable, and that's the case with the Russian Bishop's House. The multi-million-dollar restoration in the 1980s used as much of the structure's original material as possible. Mike Trainer is Sitka National Historical Park's chief of maintenance.
The four main panes in the front of the building, it's all historic glass from when the building was constructed in 1843, I believe. So that was all historic glass. One of the interior panes that he broke through is a more modern glass, and that was there's some ultraviolet protection on that had to be replaced. But luckily, when the Park Service purchased the building from the Russian Orthodox Church, they salvaged all the original glass. So luckily we had some glass to put back in that's historic.
In all, five panes were broken, but that's five too many as far as Becky Lantinich is concerned. She's chief of interpretation in the park. The Russian Bishop's house has been remarkably free of major vandalism over the 22 years it's been open to the public. And she hopes this is an isolated incident.
I think it's just sad. People care so much for the park and, of course, for the downtown landscape and Russian Bishop's house. But it's frustrating for the public and sad for the public when they see something they care so much about damaged in what seems to be a pretty senseless manner.
Sitka police and park officials are soliciting the public's help in solving the case. Anyone with information is asked to call the police department at 747-3245. A picture of the damaged windows is available on our website at kcaw.org. Cruise ship passenger tax money that Sitka receives is down, and that has officials here concerned. Around 120,000 passengers stepped off of cruise ships in the area last year. Municipal officials expected $5 for each one as the city's share of Alaska's $34.50 state cruise ship passenger tax. But when the check arrived from the state, it showed that fewer than 83,000 passengers in Sitka were assessed that tax. It turns out that not every guest aboard a major cruise ship stopping at an Alaska port is taxed. That's because the tax is assessed only for passengers who spend 72 hours or more per voyage in state waters. The Alaska Department of Revenue says a third of the cruise ship visitors who stopped in Sitka did not qualify. The Sitka Historical Society is hoping to add a new collection to its museum, yours. The Historical Society has begun a series of exhibits curated by members of the community. Museum staff say it's a way to better tell, rather, Sitka's story. KCAW's Ed Ronco has more.
Walk into the Sitka Historical Museum on any given day, and you'll see a diorama of the community, Victorian furniture, old photographs, the stuff you'd expect to see in a historical museum. What you don't expect to see are things like the green and pink dress in the middle of the room.
The dress that you just referred to is called Recycled Ballerinas. It's a lovely piece.
Jackie Fernandez is the museum's full-time curator.
It's made out of recyclable bags from C-Mart, the bright green. I'm sure everybody recognizes those.
Not far away, a coat and tie made from extra tough boots. A prom dress made from more than 2,000 pieces of a phone book. Near that, another dress made entirely from bike tire tubes. There's a purse to go with that. It's made out of valve stems.
The goal of this series is to give Sitkins a greater presence and voice in the museum.
It's called community curating. And it's not new in the wider field of museum science, but it is new to Sitka. Fernandez says she hopes it changes the misconception that museums are only for old, dusty relics of the past.
I detest that misconception. It's a major goal of mine to undo that. And I think that there are a lot of forward-thinking people in Sitka that understand that people affect place and place affect people. And part of a town's history, part of Sitka's history, is about giving the community a showcase to tell that story and to talk about how those effects unfold and what it means to the people that live here. It doesn't have to necessarily relate to something that's long ago. It can, and it may, and some of our community curating exhibits certainly will showcase pieces that are from the past. But there's more to Sitka than that.
Fernandez says a town's history is, yes, what happened a long time ago, but also what's happening today. The pieces on display now, the dresses and jackets and purses made from everyday objects, are from Sitka's Wearable Arts Show, which took place earlier this year. The next exhibit in the series will be photographs from Sitkins.
And there are six categories for the photo contest. The first one is We Are Sitkins, and those will include photographs of people and culture in Sitka, community gatherings, people at work, people in recreational activities.
The other categories include downtown streetscapes, nature scenes, flora and fauna, and fishing activities. There's also a youth category for photographers age 18 and under. The deadline to submit is April 27th, and the exhibit will open in mid-May. Members of the community will be able to vote on the exhibits. Fernandez says the top three vote-getters will win a prize. This is Ed Ronco in Sitka.
Voting closed for the wearable art exhibit this week. The winners are pieces by Dora Alicia Ells, Kelsey Erickson Kaiser, and Kathy Hope Erickson, and Julian Naylor. You can see the winning entries and other photos on our website at kcaw.org. The Coast Guard is watching for fuel and debris from a derelict Japanese fishing vessel. It sank off the coast of southeast Alaska on Thursday of last week. Coast Alaska's Ed Schoenfeld reports.
Kip Wadlow of the Coast Guard's Juneau Public Affairs Office says nothing of significance has been found so far. A small sheen was spotted Thursday, but was expected to dissipate quickly. Wadlow says the Petersburg-based cutter Anna Kappa began firing at approximately 1 p.m. Thursday. The Ryun Maru went down at 6:15 p.m. in about 6,000 feet of water.
When the ship started to sink, the starboard quarter, or the right backside, went in the water first, and then the ship just slowly rolled over and sank.
The approximately 200-foot vessel was washed out to sea by last year's Japanese tsunami. It crossed the Pacific Ocean without crew or power, then drifted up the coast of British Columbia into Alaska waters. Wadlow says the Coast Guard fired 440 rounds of explosive ordnance at the ship's waterline.
The reason why we decided to sink this vessel is because it pose a safety threat to mariners and maritime shipping that travel the sea lanes off of southeast Alaska.
Firing was delayed when a fishing boat captain expressed interest in salvaging the ship. He decided against the idea after getting a closer look. The Ryun Maru caught on fire after the first round of shelling. Wadlow says the Anacapa's crew put it out by shooting a stream of water from their vessel.
There was a significant smoke plume, and we didn't want to worry any mariners in the area thinking that there may be a vessel on fire and people in danger.
The Japanese ship was about 180 miles west of Sitka when it sank. It's not clear how many pollutants the ship had on board. The Coast Guard does not believe it contained any radiation. An agency C-130 aircraft is flying a grid over the area to check for oil or debris. With Casey Kelly, this is Ed Schoenfeld in Juneau.
A fire marshal in Alaska's capital city says a 7-year-old boy has admitted setting 5 arson fires over a little more than 4 months. Juneau Fire Marshal Dan Yeager told the Juneau Empire that the boy caused about $1,000 in damages by setting fires in restrooms at Harborview Elementary School and at the Terry Miller Legislative Building, plus a downtown grass fire and 2 fires at a Fred Meyer store. Yeager says the boy told him he used a lighter. Surveillance footage at the legislative building recorded the boy entering and leaving the bathroom at the same time as the fire in the building. Fire Chief Richard Etheridge says the arson case will be forwarded to probation officers at Juneau's Juvenile Detention Center. And a spring snowfall has broken the nearly 60-year-old seasonal snow record of Alaska's largest city. Inundated with nearly double the snow they're used to, Anchorage residents have expected the record of 132.6 inches set in the winter of 1954-1955 to be broken. The 3.4 inches that fell by Saturday afternoon brings that total to 133.6 inches. That's it for Raven News for this hour. You're listening to KCAW in Sitka. It's 1 minute after 8 o'clock.